Before we begin this morning, let me call your attention to one announcement, and that is that all summer school students are invited to have coffee and donuts free with the faculty and administration on Friday, July the 25th, that's tomorrow, at 10 a.m. in the cafeteria. So you're all cordially invited to go over there for your coffee break tomorrow. One other note, so that we do not interrupt the flow of the service, the one who will be speaking to us this morning, presenting the meditation later in the worship service, is Judy Schlegel. Judy is a native of Pennsylvania, a graduate of Penn State University, Duke University, and Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Judy is now a graduate student here, a THM student, in the field of Old Testament. And now, let us worship. In the name of God who has created us,
we gather as family.
In the name of the Son who has redeemed us,
we gather as believers.
In the name of the Spirit who sustains us,
we gather to claim our hostilities.
So be it.
Amen.
Will you join with us in singing hymn number 265?
Let us unite in confessing our sin. Eternal God, who has shown yourself to us and is one God, we confess that sometimes we have squandered our lives by forgetting that we are your creatures and are called to live in harmony with all of creation. We have failed to see the fullness of your creation in Christ Jesus. So we have failed to see the fullness of your love. We acknowledge our preference for habits and routines without regard for your updating presence. One God, Creator, Son, Holy Spirit, together we confess the need of this new beginning and offer these silent prayers for personal openness. Who is like unto God, who pardons iniquity and passes over transgression? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion upon us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Amen. Our scripture lesson is from Galatians 3:10 through 14 and 5:1 through 6. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no man is justified before God by the law, for he who through faith is righteous shall live. But the law does not rest on faith. For he who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed be every one who hangs on a tree," that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is bound to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. Let us stand and affirm our faith. We believe in God, our Creator, in whom all being and all possible being have origin and sustenance, who out of love created the mystery of nature and the fullness of human life. We believe in Jesus, who is the Christ, God's Son, our Redeemer, in whose name we speak our faith. We believe in God's Holy Spirit, drawing all nature and humankind toward completion and fulfillment. We affirm a humanity fashioned in God's image, quickened by His breath, forgiven through His grace, and enjoined to create with Him a world of love and justice. We believe in the Church and its sacred commission, in the triumph of God's righteousness, and in the life eternal. Amen.
When we first got together to plan this worship service, Dr. Hewitt suggested that we use the Galatians passage as the basis for the service. Immediately, my mind started churning. Uh-oh, I thought, this guy has been talking with my CPE supervisor. If there's any message that needs to be spoken to me, it's the Galatians message. My supervisor repeatedly told me during my session in CPE this past spring, that's clinical pastoral education for new students, he repeatedly told me that you practice a works faith. And he was really right. I was practicing a works faith. I was under the curse of the law. I worked very hard at trying to have appropriate responses for my patients. And I really planned some brilliant meditations and sermons to be delivered in the hospital chapel. And I even tried very hard to have the right problems for our group sessions. I was truly under the curse of the law. I was trying to do everything perfectly, according to some set standards which I had set up, but which I attributed to God and other people. What about you? How are you under the curse of the law? Call it legalism or call it perfectionism. With all its pain, that is the curse of the law. Once you feel you have to be perfect in one area, it soon spreads, and you soon feel you have to be perfect in all areas. The impossibility of that is intensely painful, and that is the curse of the law. Do you function as though the success of your church's mission is dependent on your words and your actions? Do you feel that you must say the right words in your Sunday morning message? You must say the right words at your deacons' meetings? You must make a certain number of visits each week? And you must, and you must, and you must. Boy, that is really a curse. Or are you trying to be a super student and a super parent, making top grades and attempting to meet all of your children's needs? Oh, sure, you can give some really good reasons for all your compulsions, and yet you are the one who has set impossible standards which are not in accordance with what God has asked. Or are you trying to be the perfect Christian, believing all the right things and going through all the right motions, never daring to ask any questions for fear of God's punishment? That too is the curse of the law. Or are you a professor who thinks he has to cover all the material in a certain amount of time, or thinks that he has to say the right words to make all these students into real Christian ministers. How are you under the curse of the law? Chances are, whenever you say to yourself, "I must," you are then placing yourself under the curse of the law. God's grace is free. He asks for a response, but that is never a demand. Responding to God's grace with an "I must" is not really accepting his grace at all. It is putting the curse of the law upon ourselves. So how do we free ourselves from the curse of the law? By faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's a real simpleton answer, and any of you know that answer. Any seminarian knows that. And yet, here we are. We claim faith in Jesus Christ, and we still find ourselves under the curse of the law. So how do we free ourselves? I like to look to history for an answer to that question. I really enjoyed studying church history, and one of the things I really liked was looking at the lives of St. Augustine, Martin Luther, John Wesley, and several others. I found that those great men were just like me, rigid and perfectionistic. But I also realized that I could learn something by looking at the lives of those great men. And I'd just like to look at John Wesley for a minute. Wesley really tried hard to be the perfect Christian. That was his thing. He arose at 5 o'clock in the morning so that he would be able to say prayers at 6 o'clock in the morning. He also said prayers at 9 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock. Now those weren't any 5-minute prayers. They were real periods of prayer. That was a lot of praying. He also attended communion regularly, at least once a week, usually 2 or 3 times. He visited the sick and the poor, and he helped provide for them. Wesley was really a very good minister, and he converted many people. And yet, Wesley felt that something was lacking in his life. He realized that he did not have that justifying faith himself. So what did Wesley do to try to get that faith which justifies? He talked with many people. He shared his struggles with some of his Moravian friends, with some ministers, and with other people. Wesley also talked with God. He spent much time in prayer, asking for that faith which frees. This continued for a long time, until that night on Aldersgate Street when Wesley could say, "My heart was strangely warmed." Wesley had learned that God loved him as he was, a sinner. If we are to learn from Wesley, there are 2 things that we can do to gain that faith which frees us from the curse of the law. First, we need to talk with others about our struggles. Share our pain with our fellow students or professors, with our friends and with our families. Let them speak to us and show us our freedom. And second, but not least, we need to talk to God. Pray and ask for faith which is freeing. Allow him to speak and show us his acceptance of us as we are. In this way, we can gain the faith which frees us from the curse of the law. We can continue to be saved.
Let us pray. O God, eternal and invisible, day after day we pray to Thee, knowing that our words are often poor and wingless, stumbling from our hearts like strangers. And yet we persist, waiting for the assured time when even our anguish and silence will be touched by Thy healing presence, and we will be one with Thee in peace and joy. O God of all times and every place, take from us the dullness that seeing does not see Thy glory, that walking the paths of life does not walk it with Thee, that finds security in deeds and creeds of our own doing rather than surrendering to Thy love and grace, that is unmindful of our own unworthiness while passionately brooding over the shortcomings of souls we little know. Almighty God, Thou hast committed to us the ministry of intercession. Hear us as we pray for others as well as for ourselves. We pray for Thy Church universal. Make it perfect in love and good works. Sanctify and unite Thy Church throughout the world, that it may bear witness to Thee. And upon all the holy offices in Thy Church, bestow Thy wisdom and heavenly grace, and enable them, enable us, to fulfill our duties. We pray for our homes. Defend them against evil and supply their needs according to the riches of Thy grace. Make them sanctuaries of purity and peace, love and joy. Bless all who are dear to us wheresoever they may be, and grant that they and we may follow Thee in every step of our daily lives, and that though our paths may lead us far from one another, we may all abide safely within the shelter of Thy love. We pray, our Father, for those in authority over us, for our President and his counselors, for the legislatures, for the Senate, and the Congress. We pray that guided by Thy Holy Spirit, they may be high in purpose and wise in counsel and unwavering in duty. We pray for those who are seeking a more excellent way for the nations of the world, whereby justice and order may be established and the differences of people may be resolved in equity. O Father, set their purposes on sure foundations and prosper their labors so that Thy will may be done. O merciful God, if weariness of body and mind or anxiety of the heart sometimes compels us to silence or condemns us to the shadows of doubt and uncertainty, then by Thy great love lift our eyes to see Jesus the Christ, who brought joy to joyless men and women, freedom and renewal to those who had lost all hope, whose dreams were dashed and blighted. Teach us by his example how to live abundantly, faithfully, joyously, and with kindness. Lift us when we fall, renew us when we fail, and when our deeds are accomplished and our dreams are fulfilled, teach us then to sing with delight before Thee, the Lord of life. This prayer we make in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you salvation. Shalom.